May be seated. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. This is sort of a transition Sunday or transition week, isn't it? As we and really, when you think about it, it's very fitting that we transition into from Thanksgiving, that we start with Thanksgiving. Because you know that, boy, next month it's going to get wild, right? And it's so easy to lose sight of what December's all about. And we all understand that December 25th is not the exact birth date of our Lord, but it's fitting that we celebrate his birth date. That's okay. And it's easy to lose sight of what we are celebrating, isn't it, in the 25th of December. So it's good that we're reminded that that we ought to be thankful and our hearts ought to be filled with gratitude before we move into this wild and woolly time called December. And so I hope you'll pay attention, take some good notes, and very simple outline that I've given you. If you'll find the sermon outline in your bulletin there, and if you'll keep that in front of you and just sort of follow along in that, it'll help you in following our training of thought. But you'll notice the simplicity of the outline. You'll see that really two important areas there that we want to emphasize and be thankful for. We want to be thankful for God's relationship to his people. And we want to be thankful for his revelation, the revelation of his character, the revealing of his character. So this is a great psalm. I hope you'll mark this psalm in our study today, and I hope you'll read it this week. It'd be good to read it Thursday. How many of you are with family Thursday on Thanksgiving? Anybody? Family activities? Be good if you would maybe remember and maybe suggest that we read Psalm 100 before we dig into all that turkey and all that dressing and everything that goes with it. I know sometimes that's not always convenient. Sometimes you get caught up in trying to. It was interesting, we shared with you that Barb and I had this vacation that somebody paid for. Boy, vacations that somebody pays for is really a blessing. Isn't that something to be grateful for? And so we were on this riverboat journey from New Orleans up to Memphis. And of course, we ate meals together in the dining hall. And we were with our friends, the Foresters. And of course, we're accustomed to praying anytime we sit down to eat, right? How many of you are accustomed to praying every day? Yeah, that's a good thing, isn't it, to give the Lord thanks? And sometimes when you're with people that you don't know, maybe sitting at your table, you get a little intimidated. And I remember the first time we were confronted with that, I just said, there was another couple with us, and I said, we're accustomed to praying before our meal. Do you mind joining us in prayer? And that it sort of encouraged us, and we did that several times, and it was really interesting how after I prayed, the couple said to us, we're accustomed to praying before our meals. And then there was one Christian couple with us one week, and they began to share their testimony. So it opened up the door to meet some other people and to realize that that there's no reason to be intimidated. Normally if somebody's struggling with the idea of prayer, just about all of us are willing to pray, and all of us need prayer, right? Follow along as I read this to you. Now, I want you to notice several things in this psalm, and just a real simple outline, and you follow that, and you'll notice the central idea. There is always a reason to be joyful and thankful in worshiping the Lord. Isn't that a true statement? Now look at that. There is always a reason to be joyful and thankful. And I know that sometimes we're in the middle of circumstances and maybe adversity and maybe discouragement and maybe even disappointment, depression. But listen, if you're a true believer and you understand God's word and God's sovereign grace, you understand that there is always something for which we can be thankful and grateful and praise God for. And in this, you know, these days, sometimes people can look at them as doom and gloom, and we as believers, if anyone, ought to have an attitude of gratitude, amen? We ought to be grateful and thankful people. And so ask yourself the question, do you worship the Lord with joy? Do you worship Him with thanksgiving? Do you pause every now and then and just to be grateful for all that we have? Now, when you look at this psalm, you'll notice it's referred, and I'm sure it says the same thing, a psalm of thanksgiving. This is the only psalm with the original title indicating a psalm of thanksgiving. And you'll find that in just about every version or translation. It's five verses, and you'll find in these five verses just ring out with a universal attitude of praise and thanksgiving and a gladness and a gratitude towards God. You'll find in every verse just rings out with something for which we ought to be grateful and thankful. It is one of a series of psalms which begins in Psalm 93, and they're referred to as the reigning psalms are the psalms that indicate the Lord reigns, or the Lord is to be praised and to be thanked. And this song was sung, and you'll find that as you look at some of the picturesque language that you find in this psalm, and you'll realize that it was sung at the gates of the temple, and it was used as a time to express to God a gratitude as people would enter the temple for a time of worship. You know, sometimes we don't reflect. We come to worship. We're accustomed to certain things, and I don't mean this in a critical way, but it's amazing to see sometimes how people treat their time of worship. I remember the first, I made a missionary trip once. We had a Bible college that we had started in Romania back in the early 90s, and I made a trip to Romania to teach in the Bible college. And while we were there, we preached in several of the churches. And in the Romanian churches, it was fascinating how their worship was so different than ours. They were not intimidated. They were not, they came to worship God. And it was evident because, you know, they didn't have all of the wonderful choir leader and music director and musical instruments. And sometimes you might be in a church that had no musical instrument at all. Maybe somebody would bring a guitar. And sometimes the preacher would just say, does anyone have a song they would like to share? And some child or somebody might just stand up where they are and sing a song, a cappella. And, you know, they thought nothing of it. They were there to praise God. They weren't there to evaluate everybody's talent. And we're spoiled, aren't we? Sometimes a little child would stand up and just quote a poem. But one characteristic of their worship that really caught my attention, when they would enter the church, before they came to be seated, they would kneel down as soon as they walked in the building. They would kneel and pray. And it was evident in every church service we were in. They would enter the auditorium. They would enter the usually a very small building, a very small. And they would kneel as they came in, and they would pray. And I thought, boy, what a blessing that was. And it just indicated their attitude toward worship and their praise to God, and they opened up their hearts in the very beginning. So this song was sung at the gates of the temple. If you can visualize the temple and them entering the temple, and they would pause to give thanks and express their gratitude. Now, when we read this psalm, you notice there will be several, there will be at least seven imperatives. You'll find these imperatives that we ought to respond to. There are several imperatives in the psalm. And by that, I mean things that you can do to express thanks to God. You'll also see that there are at least seven descriptions of joyful praise that we can give Him. So look for the imperatives. Look for the joyful, the expressions, descriptions of joyful praise. Follow as I read, and I'm reading from the Christian Standard. Let the whole earth shout triumphantly to the Lord. I know that in the King James, New King James, you have a different word there. Who's looking at King James, New King James? You have a different word for shout. What's it say? Make a joyful shout? Okay. I thought there was a different word there. Let the whole earth shout triumphantly to the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are His. His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, and His faithful love endures forever, His faithfulness through all generations. Boy, isn't that a great psalm? And I think it'd be good for all of us to try to remember, especially on Thursday morning, to just read this personally. And maybe if we have family and we're in a situation, it'd be good to read it together, wouldn't it? And you can see all the different imperatives in the psalm. Let the whole earth shout to the Lord. Serve the Lord. How? With gladness. And you see those imperatives, and then you see the descriptions of joyful praise. Now, this psalm sort of resounds with sort of rings out to us these calls to praise. And every time you see a call to praise, you see that we should give God the praise. So as we look at these two just very simple emphases and divide the psalm in that way, let us offer such glad thanks to God in the season of gratitude. You know, what helps you in developing a heart of gratitude? I don't know about you, but sometimes I find certain songs help me to enter in a time of reflection and praise and thanksgiving. Are you that way? And every morning, Barb and I get up on Sunday mornings, we turn on Pandora, and we have a Christian station there, and it's just very worshipful music. And so we turn that on and listen to it all morning while we're getting ready for church. But this morning, I was listening. Recently, I've been drawn to some songs by C.C. Winans. Anybody familiar with that? And there's certain songs. And I had looked at the songs but had forgotten because I just wrote down three songs that were meaningful to me. And lo and behold, you sang one of them this morning. Now, I know other singers sing these songs, but I would encourage you to Google her, C.C. Winans, W-I-N-A-N-S. Google and just listen to some of these. Boy, if you want to listen to something that is worshipful. But she sings that song, Holy Forever. Boy, what a worshipful. I mean, and she sings a song called Goodness of God, which Valerie does often with us, the goodness of God. And just recently I discovered one she does called Come Jesus Come. And boy, I tell you, I mean, your heart gets real warm and all of a sudden you are encouraged for the coming of Jesus to come, Jesus, come. Even so, come, Jesus, come. You ever feel like that sometimes? Boy, I just can't wait for the Lord to come. Can't wait for the Lord to come when, boy, I had that glorified body and all of a sudden I go there. But let me encourage you. Maybe next week I'll ask you if you Google C.C. Winans and listen to some of these songs and see if you agree with me that, boy, sometimes just listening to someone sing glory to God. And, I mean, the song we did this morning, Holy Forever. Boy, think about those words. Holy Forever. And that's what this psalm is all about. We worship a holy God. And, of course, the second part is about the revelation of his character. And you think about the character of God. And if you want to enter into a time of joyful praise and thanksgiving, just reflect on the character of God. And especially sometimes when you're feeling down, discouraged. Well, let's look at the emphasis that he has for us here. There's always a reason to be joyful and thankful in worshiping the Lord. And in your introduction there, I ask you several questions. But look at the last phrase there. But Psalm 100 reminds us that we always have reason to worship with joy and thanksgiving. There's always a reason to worship God. And I know that you might be going through a challenging time, an emotional time, a financial time, a struggle in your life. Maybe it's physical. But there is always a reason to worship God. Why? Because he's holy forever. He alone is holy, and we can endure and appreciate that. So look, first of all, we need to thank God for his relationship to his people. I found this to be very, just very applicable to where we are today. And of course, the Word of God, you know, to me, the Word of God is so timeless. Aren't you amazed how timeless the Word of God is? A book that was written over 2,000 years ago, but we look at it and we say, goodness, I mean, we're living in those times today. But that's the beauty of the Word of God, amen? And you'll notice those first three verses. And as I read through those three verses again, think about relationship. Get that word fixed in your mind, relationship, relationship. Let the whole earth shout triumphantly to the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are his. We are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. And boy, if you're familiar with the scriptures, you know, we as believers are always referred to as his sheep. And John 10, you read John 10, and, you know, the good shepherd talking to his people. Now, you'll notice that my subpoints are the same under two major points there. Thank God for his relationship to his people. And so you have a call to praise, and you have a content of praise. Now, let's look in the first two verses at the cause to praise. There is a cause to praise. Let the whole earth, what? Shout for joy to the Lord. Let the whole earth shout triumphantly to the Lord. Shout joy to the Lord. A lot of the music we listen today is loud, isn't it? That's why I grew up in the 50s and 60s, and when you could understand what the singer was saying, right? Do I hear an amen on that? You could understand what they were saying and what they were singing about. But boy, think about that thought. Shout for joy to the Lord. And think about what he's saying there. This has the blast of a trumpet, maybe. Trumpet just blasting out. And it's equivalent of a fanfare accompanied with shouts maybe to the king. We think of the king or some special time when you're shouting. Just watch a important athletic event, and boy, you see some crazy stuff, don't you? Why is it you can get so crazy? I mean, downright stupidly crazy on an athletic event. But we get excited about the Lord, and you know, and we get criticized for it. All those fanatics. And but think about what he's challenging us to do there. Now think about the emotion of this. We're all made of emotions, aren't we? And the emotion of this, the emotion of this praise is to be joy. Joy is the aim, and joy is the motive. Not joy in what I've accomplished or who I am or look at me, but joy in who? Our holy God, who's holy forever, amen? Shout triumphantly. Shout for joy to the Lord. Notice the direction of this praise is to God himself. And isn't it fitting that he starts this psalm of thanksgiving reflecting on our relationship to God? And as believers, relationship is an important word to us. Our relationship to God, his relationship to us. Our relationship as a body of believers, as a community of believers, a community, a church community, a church family, our relationship to one another. And so we see here that we ought to be thankful, first of all, for his relationship to his people. And we're reminded that the direction of this praise is to God himself. We are not making noise to impress the church or to impress one another. Now, have you ever watched a church service on maybe on television, or maybe you've been engaged in one, and sometimes the commotion, the noise is to bring attention to oneself? I've been in situations where the noise is and the situation is to bring attention to a particular person. You remember years ago there was something floating around. I think it started with some evangelist in Canada or someplace. It came to the United States. And it was this laughing disease, you know, this laughing emotion. Anybody remember that? And they were just, their worship was laughing. They'd just break out in laughter. And you know what laughter is, don't you? And, you know, and these people would get together, and all over the auditorium, they'd be, ah, ha, 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 ha. Now, what would be the purpose of that? I mean, what, you know, I can imagine. I've laughed at myself sometimes. Have you ever laughed at yourself? And I'm sure you've laughed at me sometimes too. And but sometimes, you know, think about how ridiculous. Or what is the purpose of that? I mean, what is the motive behind? Well, what would be the motive behind that? It's look at us. Look how different we are. Look at you know. And so you see the direction of this praise is to God himself. We're not making a noise to impress the church or to impress one another. And you see the actual direction here of our gratitude should focus on God. That ought to be our motive. That ought to be our direction. We ought to be so caught up in this attitude of gratitude toward what God has done for us. And he has provided such this great salvation for us. And he only asks us to do one simple thing. Believe that he died for our sins and invite him into my life. Salvation by grace through faith. Amen. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We like to boast of what we our works, but... But isn't it amazing that a sovereign God just took works right out of it? He said, no, it's not about anything you do. It's all about me. It's all about God. And so I want you to direct your praise and thanksgiving. And so we see that the focus ought to be on God. Now, there's a longing for this inclusion in thanksgiving. Let the whole earth shout triumphantly to the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness, come before him with joyful songs. And that sort of ties into what he's telling us there, serving him with gladness. And he's reminding us that our shouting ought to be led to serving, because then he says, acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are his. Now that word acknowledge is an important word. In your translation, you might have the word know there. It's the same word. Know or acknowledge. It means to know by experience. I've used this illustration before. Maybe somebody might ask you, do you know someone? Well, I was introduced to them and I shook their hand. I know their name, but do I know them? No, I don't really know them intimately. I don't know much about them. And so what he's telling us there, that word acknowledge or know that the Lord is God, to know by experience. It carries the meaning of acknowledge or knowing, this experience in our hearts where we're open to confess to God. And then he shares that important second part. He made us and we are his. We are his because he made us. He made us. Doesn't the birth of a child, do you ever, there's just no way we can never, there's no way I can never get over the miracle of the birth of a child. That whole process, isn't that a miracle? Now I have my ninth grandchild coming in February. I have a picture of her in the womb. If you want to see it afterward, I'd be glad to show you. But this will be my fourth granddaughter, and she's going to be born into a family of three girls and a boy. So this little boy is going to have four sisters. But doesn't a birth, now think about that. He made us. God made you while you were in the womb. I mean, that was all God's plan. God made us, and we are his. We're his people. Do you see how relationship ties into that? There is to be no one who sits quiet and silent. It is God's intention that every voice in every nation, one day we're going to sing back praises to him. And so this call to praise divides worship into service. And notice there that true worship involves service. Don't be guilty of just coming to church, and as one preacher said, some people just come and they sit and sour but come to serve. We're all called to serve. That's how we give back to God, is our service. And you can see again how the relationship ties into that. The first service we owe to God is worship. When you come to church, you come to worship, and that's your first act of service. And if you're here today with the right attitude and the right spirit, and you're here to worship God, and you understand those three verses, and isn't this a great time to be reminded that we experience him at the time of salvation and be reminded that he made us and we belong to him and we're his people and we're the sheep of his pasture. And you see, the local church, the local community, the family of God is just an example of that. And that's why it's important that we worship together. That's why it's important that we sit in this auditorium together with our Bibles open, and we're here to, because we're in this community. Now let me ask you to do something. Would you just turn around and look around the auditorium and see if you see somebody you don't know or somebody you've not met? See anybody you don't know or you haven't met? You see, we're here as a community of believers. We're here as God's family. We're here as a body of believers. I love the phrase, the body of Christ. That's what we are. That's why it's important that we be in here, because we're here to serve Him as we worship together. And we serve Him together. Now, as a pastor, you get familiar with where people sit in the auditorium. Some of you sit in the same place all the time, don't you? How many of you sit in the same place all the time? Yeah, Hal always sits on that fourth row on the end. See, he's a Marine, and he sits on the end because he might have to exit quickly in case something happens. And I sort of as pastor, I get familiar with that. Fred always sits over there. Mrs. Creed's up here taking notes and checking me out. We'll discuss that on the way home, so you pray for me, okay? That we have a good discussion. Maybe I'll get dinner today. I'm just playing. But it's interesting how we come. And now I get familiar with where you're sitting, and sometimes I look out and I say, oh, Fred's not there, and I'm wondering, you know. Now, I don't mean that critically, but I mean that relationally. Because I look forward to I look forward to church every morning. I look forward. You see, I get here early, and Pat and I are in a contest, and we try to beat one another here. And she drives fast coming down 610, and so sometimes she beats me because so this morning I got here before Pat. I was the first one here, but. You see, the church is not here until you show up. Amen? I drive into that, but how often do we say, well, there's that church and there's that church, the church, you know. No, that's not the church. This building's not the church. You're the church. And to me, boy, I get warmed when now, I shared this with you. I know I shared this with you once before, and I never can forget this. I have a niece and her husband who are missionaries in Brazil. And, you know, when you're going to a country as a missionary, you visit several churches trying to raise support. You're familiar with that, right? And you try to. And so they were visiting churches. And so, Melissa, we were talking one day, and she said, Uncle Mickey, she said, we visited this church recently. And she said, Josh went back to meet with the pastor. And so I went on in the church. There was nobody in there. And she said, I sat in about the second or third row in the end. I just sat down and waiting for Josh to finish. And he met with the pastor, and they were getting ready for the service. And she said, so the people started coming in. And she said, and this elderly lady came down, and she walked right down, and she stood next to me, and she said, she turned and looked at me, and she said, you're in my seat. Now, this is the first time Melissa's ever been in this church. She's never been in this church before. And she's sitting there, minding her own business, and this lady said, you're in my seat. And Melissa said, well, I'm sorry, and would you like me to move? And she said, yes, I'd like you to move, because that's my seat. That's where I sit every Sunday. I hope we're never like that. Amen. Is anybody in your seat this morning? You don't want to admit it, do you? Now look at that content of praise. The praise of thanksgiving is the very nature and person of God Himself. And look at that phrase there. Know that the Lord is God. Know that the Lord is God. You see, thanksgiving is the actual acknowledgement that God alone is God. And it's good for you and me sometimes to say, God is God and I'm not. Right? Because He's holy forever. He's perfect. We see that in the last two verses, His character. You see, human self-assurance and independence should vanish away when we begin to confess what we really are before the Lord, and everything human takes its proper place when we remind ourselves that He made me. I might not be pleased with me. I was born with a birth defect. I was born with a left leg shorter and smaller. I wear two different size shoes. And I've always had that birth defect. But that's the way God made me. And God had a purpose for making me that way. You have some characteristics. But that was God's plan for you. But one day when He takes me home, boy, all of a sudden both legs will be the same size and both feet will be the same. You know, I'll have that glorified body. And so we see here that everything will take place. And because of this, we thank God for His creation because He made us. We thank God for His redemption because we are His people. We thank God for His protection because we are the sheep of His pasture. And He's the great shepherd. And the focus of this Thanksgiving season should not be first the obvious material benefits. And boy, just think about how easy it is for us to focus on the material benefits. I mean, if you were here Wednesday night, how many of you were here Wednesday night? I know some of you, everybody couldn't make it, but we had enough food to feed an army, didn't we? But that shouldn't be the focus of what we're really thankful for, right? We're thankful because of this relationship that we have with God, and because of this relationship we have with Him, He has a relationship with us. Now look quickly at the second point there with me. And you see that we thank God for His revelation of His character. Look at those last two verses. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. You get this vision of entering the temple. And His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name. Give thanks to Him and bless His name. And you know that it'd be good to remind ourselves when we come to church, wouldn't it? It'd be good for us just to pause and maybe thank You, Lord, for church. Thank You for the relationship that we have as a church community. Thank You that I can know that there are people here that love me in spite of who I am. They love me because of the love of Jesus in their heart, and we love one another because we all know that we're sinners saved by grace, right? And then He says in verse 5, "For the Lord is good and His faithful love endures forever, His faithfulness through all generations." Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Yeah, and so the psalmist pictures this group, this great throng of people pressing into the temple through these massive gates. And as they enter, He calls them to shout words of thanksgiving. As they enter, He says, "Enter your gates with thanksgiving." And don't forget verse 1. Shout to the Lord. Anytime we're called upon to give a testimony, boy, we should just shout to the Lord. Amen. Regardless of the circumstances in your life right now, think about how good God is. And think about all that He overlooked. Ephesians 4:32, what a great verse. "Forgive one another, even as God, Christ Jesus, forgave you of your sins." So just as God forgave you of all the sins you ever committed, He said, make sure you have a forgiving heart to other people. Boy, isn't that a great thought? And so he reminds us there of this importance, the accompaniment of every right approach to God should be an attitude of gratitude. And so he reminds us there, and again he teaches us there's a call to praise. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name because of who he is. The Christian not only comes to this outer courts of this temple, but he can stand in the Holy of Holies. You remember in the Old Testament, they couldn't stand in the Holy of Holies. Only the great high priest, the high priest went to there. And they had to stand in the door of the tent and watch him because they knew he was going in to pray on their behalf. But they couldn't go in, only he could go in. But praise God for the new covenant in the New Testament. Priesthood of the believer, we go straight to the high priest. We go directly to Jesus because of this relationship, the relationship that he has to his people and we have with him. And so our thanksgiving penetrates where the psalmist could never imagine here. And then look at the content of the praise. Look at this with me. We praise God because of his nature. The very essence is only and always that which is good. James 1:17 claimed him to be the Father of lights from whom every good and perfect thing comes to us. But the faithfulness of his love is not based on some emotional whim. We don't sing to be emotional. We sing because of this relational and because of his character. To know God is to know the one who is in covenant with us. We have this covenant relationship because he says we're his chosen people. He called us out. We're his children. He doesn't love us with some arbitrary mood of some dictator. His love is based on his own nature, which never changes because he's holy forever. This is the basis of gratitude indeed. We change. Our mood changes, doesn't it? But he never changes. Think about that. He never changes. And so with this background, why not make this Thanksgiving a time for a genuine expression of joyful attitude to God? Thank him for the persons. Thank him for the people in your life. Would you just right now just think about people in your life that have been a blessing and been a help to you and been an encouragement to you. Thank him for the persons in your life. Thank him for his provisions. Thank God today for all that you have because of him. Thank him for the institutions that have been important to you and that have been a benefit to you and been help for you. Thank him for the groups that are a blessing to you. Thank him for your church. Thank him for the people in the church that are a blessing to you and people that love you in spite of yourself. That's real godly love, isn't it? Because, let's be honest, sometimes we're not really very lovable, are we? And aren't you thankful for the people that love you in spite of yourself? God loves you in spite of yourself. And you and I are to do that to one another. And let me encourage you to do it this week. Do it with an urgency. And let me encourage you, beginning today and the rest of the week through Thanksgiving, let's have this urgency and let's daily be thankful and grateful. Do it at God's house this morning and do it at your house when you're there alone. Do it out loud. And do it verbally. I think sometimes it's good to verbally read the scriptures out. Read this psalm out loud verbally. Do it musically. You get a hold of a song like Holy Forever. Sing with that because you're singing the Word of God and the character of God. You say, well, I'm not much of a singer. Well, get in your bathroom, close the door, and just let it rip, okay? Turn the shower on so nobody can hear, but listen. It's okay. One day we'll have that glorified voice. Amen? Do it musically. Write down a letter to the Lord expressing your gratitude and read it back to Him, because you want to make the words of this psalm your words. So let me encourage you this week, maybe every day this week. Wouldn't that be good? Every day this week. Would you promise to God right now, and would you with me, let's read this psalm every day this week, amen? How many of you will join me in that? Be careful now. I know when you ask Baptists to raise their hand, they think you're getting ready to take an offering. And let's read this psalm every day, because it's a psalm of thanksgiving. And then when we say amen, we're saying, according to your will, God, according to your will, I praise you and I thank you. Let's close in prayer. Let me ask you to bow your heads in prayer. And would you, with heads bowed and eyes closed right now, just think about the goodness of God and the love of God and the blessings of God. And would you just take a moment right now to just say, God, I just thank you. I thank you for this relationship that you've given me with you. And I just thank you that you love me. That's why you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for me. And you died for every sin I ever committed. Now, maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm not sure I know Jesus as my personal Savior. Well, this is a good time just to ask Him to come into your life and to save you. It's just a matter of believing and trusting what He told you. He said if you would confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. I wonder if there's someone here this morning who needs to pray that prayer. Say, Pastor, I need to know Jesus as my Savior, and I'm asking Him to save me right now. Would you slip your hand up and let me remember you in prayer? Anyone? I wonder if there's someone who would say, Pastor, I'm praising God now, and I need to be more grateful and thankful for all that God has meant to me and all that I am to Him. Would you slip your hand up and say, I'm just praising and thanking God for the many blessings that I enjoy in this life. Father, we thank you for your blessings today. We thank you for this Thanksgiving season. We thank you for this time of the year where we can pause, especially on this day of Thanksgiving. But I pray that as Christians, every day will be a day of Thanksgiving in our lives and in our hearts. And we just praise you for it and give you the praise and thanks. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.